are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is the Wednesday edition, and I should have it posted probably sometime tomorrow. I'm a little bit behind again because of the election results not being called until early part of Wednesday morning, so I got a little behind. I wanted to talk today about unity and what an election means. We had two candidates with definitely agendas that were, let's say, wide apart. And let me give you some quick examples. Hillary Clinton was for open borders, extending what Barack Obama has been doing, namely not enforcing immigration law. In other words, if he could get to the United States, you were home free, and you could work, live here, and eventually get citizenship. Donald Trump was against that, or at least that's what he says. He wants to build that big, beautiful wall with the door in it, that powerful wall, to stop the illegal invasion of this country by millions every year. But a wall's not going to stop it, because you already have 30 to 50 million illegal aliens here. Now, he says he's going to enforce immigration law, holding him to it, but I'm realistic. This problem did not develop overnight, and it won't be solved overnight. Anywhere from 15 to 20 years of illegal immigration that was not stopped by either the Republican administration of George W. Bush or the Democratic Party administration of President Barack Obama. When you do not enforce the law, and I'm talking internally within the United States, and who's tasked with enforcing that law? The federal government is. It's not the responsibility of local law enforcement, whether it's city, county, or state, to enforce federal law, and what we're talking about here is immigration law. We already have the laws on the books that make it illegal to enter this country without presenting your papers. It's also illegal in this country to buy fraudulent documents, and it's also illegal to work here if you don't have the legal status to work here, and that's not only in the United States, that's in almost any other country of the world. Most countries, including the United States, have a legal procedure, protocol, however you want to describe it, as to how you can become a citizen of the United States. And it's the American people that are saying, we're for immigration. We are for immigration, provided you come here legally and follow the rules. Now, there is a debate as to how many should come each year. I'm more towards the historical level of 250,000 per year. However, if we have very, very low unemployment, I can see increasing that number to 500,000. Now, for most of you, that would seem reasonable. But wait a minute. We're already allowing a little over 1 million per year, and that's been going on for many years now. And you need to understand that. So Donald Trump wants to enforce existing immigration law. And he keeps saying, we're going to deport, send back to their country of origin, the criminal aliens or the criminal immigrants. And I keep reminding him, excuse me, sir, If they're working here, have fraudulent papers, broke into the country, they have committed several crimes. And I haven't mentioned the fact that employers that employ them have committed crimes. You see, you're never going to stop and really solve the immigration problem until you deal with what is the main reason people are coming here. And that's not hard to understand. It's economic opportunity. They're looking for a better standard of living. And they want to live in a country that's relatively free. So until you go after the employers that employ anywhere from 20 to 30 million, I don't know what the number is. Nobody seems to know what the number is. And that's part of the problem. Both the Republican and Democrat Party have turned a blind eye to this. They're not living up to their oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that's what the American people are asking for. Enforce the laws. That's a very reasonable demand, as far as I'm concerned. Enforcement of the law. And on the federal level, when federal laws are broken, whether it's immigration, national security, or public corruption, it is up to the federal government to enforce the law. The cities and states can't. They don't have the authority. We're leaving it up to our representatives in Congress, whether it's in the House or the Senate, to insist that the laws of the land be enforced and provide the necessary resources for the federal government to enforce that law. And the American people are tired of both political parties ignoring them. That's why Donald Trump won. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. He was definitely better, though, on the issues, and one being immigration. The second is national security. We had a former Secretary of State that was briefed on this, signed papers on this, and yet willfully disregarded the laws of the land in regarding the handling of not only government documents, but highly classified documents by Watt, setting up her own personal server at home and using that server as an email server. So emails came to her from everyone in the federal government, including the President of the United States. If you were working in the State Department or in the White House, you knew what was going on. And no one stopped her. The president did not stop her. She was violating the law. She should have been stopped. And if she had been, I think today she would be president of the United States. That might surprise you. Hillary Clinton was a very flawed and damaged candidate. She had a long history of lying, lying, and lying. And the American people, especially those that are old enough, know that history. But when you combine that with reckless disregard of the law and thinking that because she was Secretary of State, she's entitled to do what she pleases. She's above the law. That did not sit well with the American people, because the American people know if it were anybody else, the book would have been thrown at them. They would be spending years, maybe decades in prison and fined, big fines. And you didn't have to prove intent. So Donald Trump, I don't think, would do that. Could be wrong, but I don't think he would. He knows better, as did Hillary Clinton. You should be accountable for your actions, especially where you're flagrantly violating several federal statutes pertaining to government documents, the handling of classified documents, the distribution of classified documents. And then we get to the worst, and we still haven't heard the final chapter and verse on this, public corruption. The Clinton Foundation was used for what? Getting contributions, charitable contributions from foreign governments. And they got millions. Foreign governments don't give U.S. charitable contributions unless they get something for it. And that really was the reason former Secretary of State and former Senator from New York, Hillary Clinton, set up that server to hide her tracks. Not only from the press, because if she used a Department of State email account, all her emails would be subject to the Freedom of Information Act. She didn't want prying eyes to know what she was doing. That was one reason. But the bigger reason, she was the end result. The reason why all these dictators, kings, throughout the Middle East, throughout the world, were giving her money is they wanted something for it. They wanted access, first of all. And they were selling access to the Secretary of State. Now, not everyone that had an interview or an appointment with the Secretary of State gave to the Clinton Foundation. But but a large, long list, we're talking dozens here, did. And appointments, interviews, hearings were arranged through the Clinton Foundation, some of its top people, contacting the immediate aides of Hillary Clinton, Uma Abedin, wife, since separated of Anthony Weiner. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a crime. It hasn't been proven yet. And let me quickly add, everyone is entitled to their day in court, but not anyone is entitled to political protection that Hillary Clinton got from the Obama administration. They're just as guilty of this. They could have shut down that server anytime, and they didn't do it. That's incompetence. That's negligence. Because she compromised national security, because you better believe that foreign, such as Russian, Chinese, Communist China, Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and other countries, friends and foes of the United States, routinely, as a matter of course, have organizations similar to the National Security Agency that try to break in, first and foremost, to government servers. That's why if you work in the Department of Defense, the Department of State, and most other departments, you have security on your computer systems. You have a firewall. You have people that are paid to make sure people can't break in, because you know that people are trying to break in. As I speak, many governments are trying to break into government servers in Washington and other cities. It's routine, and it shouldn't be a surprise, because why do you think the National Security Agency does? It tries to do the same thing in Russia, Communist China, Iran, Iraq, you name the country, especially that are opponents, foes of the United States. That's what the National Security Agency, the NSA, does routinely. And we spend over $100 billion on it a year. No one knows the precise budget. It's highly classified. We do it to them, and they do it to us. And it's not only our foes, it's our friends as well. The American people were sick of being ignored. They were sick of people in high places not having to pay a price for their criminal activity. They were sick of both political parties not listening to them, not really caring to what their concerns are. Most Americans simply want to be left alone. Government is too big. It's out of control. Spending is out of control. We need to drastically cut government spending at all levels, starting at the federal, but same thing with the state and the city. And keep in mind, it's not just taxes that pays for all this government spending. It's also debt. And in the case of the federal government, it's the creation or printing of money. As long as government is huge, and I mean over 40%, heading for 50% on all levels, you're going to have corruption. And you're going to have people outside of the government and inside the government that will be tempted and engaged in corrupt behavior, because they think and believe that they can get away with it. And many times they do, but many times they ultimately are caught. Hillary Clinton was caught. Because the House Select Committee on Benghazi noticed that her emails were coming not from a .gov or state.gov email account, but were coming from a personal server. That's what got her in trouble, and that's why she got a subpoena as well as a protection order to hand over all the emails. And that's when they obstructed justice by destroying evidence, the 33,000 emails that were destroyed. Just doing it is a clear indication you're guilty. You're hiding something. The intent of the server was to prevent not only what I call big lie media, some call the press, whether it's print, newspapers, or the television networks, or other organizations, from getting an inside view as to what was happening. The American people voted, and as a result, Donald Trump is our president-elect and will be the next president of the United States. That presents a problem, a big problem for Hillary Clinton. Her protector, Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, will leave office on January 20th, 2017. Donald Trump will take the oath of office, and he will soon appoint Attorney General and be given instructions to enforce the law, as he should when they take an oath to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And included in that is the execution, faithful execution of all the laws of the United States. The American people might be slow. They might be forgiving, but they will not be ignored. And any politician that thinks they're above the law and thinks they don't have to consider carefully the will of the American people are making serious mistakes. All the American people want is the rule of law and the United States Constitution, and people who swear an oath to execute faithfully those laws, as well as to preserve and protect the Constitution, to do their duty, not ignore it, and certainly not break the law. But that has been the pattern of this administration, not enforcing immigration law inside the United States. When you have anywhere from 30 to 50 million illegal aliens living and working, going to school, going to community hospitals, all of them illegal. All of them broke the law entering this country. Some came here illegally on a visa, and then they overstayed their visa. Anywhere from 40 to 50%. They don't cross the U.S.-Mexican border. They fly here every day. Many of them are students, businessmen, tourists, and they like it here. Doesn't surprise me, and they want to stay. And then they go from being legally here on a visa when it runs out to illegally, and they still live here and work here. And they're competing for jobs with who? The American people, American citizens, born, raised, educated here, and now increasingly are finding difficult to find their first jobs. The American people spoke on November 8th. Donald Trump made immigration a central part of his campaign. That's one of the reasons, and I think one of the most important reasons, that he got elected. The American people wanted immigration law, as well as other laws, enforced. And this administration, as well as the prior Republican administration, simply were not doing it. Now, I know there's a minimum amount of enforcement, especially along the U.S.-Mexican border. But if you go and talk to the people that are on the front lines, they'll tell you for every one that they detain, apprehend is the technical term, at least three escape. And what that means is most of them make it to cities like Dallas, so-called sanctuary cities, but cities across the United States, and that's where they're working today, living and working. They shouldn't be, and if the laws were vigorously enforced, we wouldn't have a problem. This wouldn't have been an issue. There's really a lot of other issues that are more important, and I went over that yesterday. Namely, government spending is out of control. And until, and I'm not optimistic, government spending is brought down, cut, I mean real cuts, not this phony game of baseline budgeting. Oh, we've cut spending by $1 trillion over the last 10 years. You notice we never get to the last 10 years as a reason. That's where the cuts are. They're not up front. That's the little Washington game they play. And what I was trying to point out to Mr. Trump, he has only a limited amount of time to attempt, and I think he will attempt, to succeed at his agenda items. 2 years at the outside, and that clock is already ticking. Because in 2 years, what happens? We have another election for the House and the Senate. A third of the Senate will be up for re-election. Most of them are, a lot of them are Democrats. So it's an important election. The American people are watching. They're getting wise to the game that it doesn't matter whether we elect Republicans or Democrats. They both appear to be against the will of the American people. The American people are law-abiding. They believe in the rule of law. They want law and order. They want the laws of the land, all the laws, enforced. And the government simply has not been delivering on that. It's not just immigration. It's also drug laws. I'm not a fan of drug laws, but if they're on the books, you should follow the law. There will always be people that believe that they are above the law. Many of them are in what I call the political elitist establishment, the leadership of both parties. They have a sense of entitlement, and they're arrogant. And they want to tell you what to do, and they don't want to hear any lip or back talk why they do something else. Do what I say, not what I do. Well, the American people say nonsense. we're wise to what you're trying to pull. We're not going to let you pull it. No one thought Donald Trump would be nominated. No one thought that Donald Trump would be elected. I did because I knew that he was a driven politician at heart. Much of his career was in the business world, but he always was tempted to go in politics, but resisted that temptation. But what he saw repeatedly, the people that got elected did not do right by the American people and finally had enough of it and challenged Hillary Clinton. He would have much rather run as a liberal Democrat. Instead, several years ago, he changed his party affiliation and ran as a Republican and defeated 16 other Republicans. His timing was impeccable because the American people were tired of the Republican Party for not delivering. They had ceased, for all practical purposes, being a party of the opposition. They were not fighters. They rolled over. I call them rollover Republicans. Whenever the Democratic leadership said, roll over, they'd say, how many times? And they did it, even though the American people gave them big majorities in 2014 and 2010. This is, in my mind, the last chance for the Republican Party. Either they start delivering on the promises, in other words, show results and listen to the American people, or the people that voted for Donald Trump, as well as many that voted for Hillary Clinton, will seek to establish another third party. Most of you aren't aware, but there are literally dozens, several dozen parties that had candidates on the ballot. There were more than two candidates. There were more than four. There were dozens. But they never get anywhere, because the Democrat and Republican parties make sure they never get anywhere. Donald Trump is right. It's rigged. You better believe it is rigged for any outsider, any independent other party to make inroads. And the media goes along. The big lie media. Notice, we had potentially four candidates. I couldn't vote for Gary Johnson. He's a Libertarian, or Jill Stein, a Green. They got, I think Stein got right at 1%. I forget the exact number. And Gary Johnson got 3%. Oh, I understood they weren't going to get anywhere initially, if you believe the polls, and I simply don't believe the polls. The problem with big lie media is they lie. They're not journalists anymore. They're not reporters. They're propagandists. And they all supported the Democratic Party agenda and the Democratic Party candidate, Hillary Clinton. Given that, do you expect their polls to be accurate? I didn't. You just overweight the number of Democrats, and you're going to get the answer you want. They'll deny it, but that's what they were doing. If I heard it once, I heard it many times. Well, Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president. Don't you know? Didn't you get the memo? And they were shocked, I mean shocked, that our poll numbers were so wrong. Please, give me a break. Hillary Clinton knew she was in trouble. She had good polls, internal polls, not released to the press. She knew she was in trouble in Michigan. She shouldn't be. She knew she was in trouble in Pennsylvania. She shouldn't have been. And really, she shouldn't have been in trouble in Wisconsin. So they made very last-minute appearances, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Oh, it was a close election, especially if you count California. But exclude California, and it wasn't. Donald Trump, surprise, 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 won with 290 electoral votes. Now, we're not going to... The college doesn't meet for a while, but they are committed. And Hillary Clinton has given her concession speech. But the American people are watching. They are watching. Both political parties. And they're not happy because both parties have betrayed him in the past. And if history is any judge, will betray him in the future. Donald Trump, for now, is the people's champion. And he knows why he's won a close race against really incredible odds when you think about it. He knew he was up against the big money of Wall Street that predominantly went to Hillary Clinton. He knew that the owner-donor class that makes the big campaign contributions to both parties didn't want Donald Trump to be president of the United States. In other words, the money advantage went to the political elitist establishment of both parties. This race was supposedly going to be between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Both certified members of the establishment, both with strong connections with Wall Street, both expecting and getting large campaign contributions. They were going to be your choices, Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton. Am I surprised that the Bush family voted for Hillary Clinton? Not at all. They wanted to vote for Jeb, but the American people said no. Jeb's not right on education with Common Core, and he's certainly not right on immigration. And Donald Trump beat him handily. So the Bushes took the football away and went home and voted for Hillary Clinton. You see, progressives are not only in the Democratic Party, they're also in the Republican Party. George W. wanted to be a compassionate conservative. That's just a big spending progressive. I always remember when his dad at the convention said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." And a couple of years later, broke his promise. And as a result, I think a very direct result of that, many Republicans either stayed home or voted for someone else. People don't like to be lied to, but progressives seem to have that habit. They lie, and lie. Why? Because they know if they told the truth, they would never get elected. The American people are waking up to this. Donald Trump was not anyone's perfect candidate. He's a very flawed individual, even though he's been very successful in real estate development. He has baggage just as Hillary Clinton had baggage. But he was a fighter and he was a leader. And he took the fight to him. And now the American people have given him a vote of confidence. And it's up to him to deliver on his promises. And if he doesn't deliver on his promises, well, they'll find somebody else. And eventually, and I hope sooner because we need it, there will be a truly successful third-party challenge of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. I'm not kidding. This is the Republican Party's last chance. And if they don't deliver, and I mean cutting government spending, that's the problem. It's cutting government spending and enforcing the laws of the land, especially regards immigration, then the people that voted for Donald Trump are not going to be suckered into voting for the newest Democrat on the block. They're going to abandon the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, become independents. And when someone with integrity, principle comes along, together with the financial backers, yes, of the owner-donor class, and runs as a rival to both parties, forms a national party with a slate of candidates, initially, they're not going to cover the nation, folks. It will be a slow process, a gradual process. But that's what it's going to take if the Republican Party cannot get its act together. They're not going to come home for Donald Trump or Mike Pence. They're going to stay where they are and not vote. And punish both parties. Let them fight it out until they have a true candidate, a true champion or paladin of the people. No one likes to be played repeatedly as the fool. Be conned. Because that's what the elites have been doing of both parties. They've been lying to us. Democrats know it. Republicans know it. Independents know it. And they don't trust the political establishment today. Both the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are disconnected from the American people. Both are beholden to the owner-donor class, the very wealthy, the multimillionaires, the billionaires, to run their campaigns. They have been corrupted. They have been bought and paid for. Is that every politician? No. There are some honest people in Washington, D.C. Not many, but enough. But not enough to really get through an agenda. And it's not going to happen whether you vote Democrat or Republican. The longer you continue to vote Democrat or Republican, the longer this very rigged game continues. Donald Trump got it right. He understood what he was up against, and it was very rigged. Definitely on the Democratic side with the superdelegates, Bernie Sanders found that out. He never had a chance. Not only did Hillary have the superdelegates, she made sure the DNC, the Democratic National Party, it's the committee running it, made sure that Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee, and she succeeded. And Bernie Sanders finally, I think he knew all along, figured it out. He was just a straw man to give Hillary some competition. And he gave Hillary some competition and pushed her further and further to the left, which I think also hurt Hillary Clinton. Unlike Bill Clinton, that knew while you could run in the primaries to the left, you better quickly get back to the center if you want to win. So today, what are we hearing from the Democrats? We have to our people have to be united. We need unity. Trump is even saying we need unity. And the Democrats saying we need unity. Nonsense. That's what elections are for. One side wins, one side loses. And the ones that win have an opportunity to pursue their agenda and get it implemented. And to the extent they do and are successful, they'll get reelected. To the extent that they do not fulfill their promises, they'll get defeated. But this game of Democrat 1 year, 2 years later Republican, it's getting old. It's getting real old. And now the American people are getting wiser. They will be looking rather closely at Donald Trump and what he does. If he crosses the aisle in the name of unity, in other words, double crosses his own supporters, he won't get a second term. Someone will definitely challenge. He would be a fool to do it, but Donald Trump, for much of his life, was a Democrat. Don't forget it. And a liberal Democrat at that. And you can hear it in his words. He wants to spend a lot of money on infrastructure and a lot of money on defense. Now, some of that is needed. No argument. But when you're talking infrastructure, and that's highways, buildings, bridges, that's spending money. Your money, my money, instead of the American people spending their money or American businesses that create the jobs and the wealth and the income spending the money, Donald Trump wants to spend the money on infrastructure. I've heard that song before. I think it was called a stimulus package. You know, Barack Obama, shovel-ready jobs? Infrastructure should be the concern of who? Local government, towns, cities, counties, states, not the federal government. And that's the way it was for much of the history of the United States. You see, Donald Trump, deep down, is still a liberal Democrat. And watch him. He'll spend money on it. Your money. My money. And if he doesn't have enough money there, he'll do what every Republican and Democrat have done. Go into debt. And if that's not enough, the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States, will assist him by keeping interest rates low and buying government securities. In other words, printing money, creating money. That's who the American people have elected. I didn't vote for either candidate. They're taking us down the road to serfdom, down the road to a bigger and bigger government, socialism. And as you go down the road, what happens? You begin to lose more and more of your liberty, your freedoms, and you get to spend less and less of your money as government gets bigger and bigger and bigger at all levels. Nothing fundamentally is going to change until we have another party that truly believes in limited government, believes in the rule of law, believes in enforcing law, truly does believe in law and order. And fundamentally believes that the United States Constitution should be preserved, protected, and defended. Oh, I still wish Donald Trump well. And Mike Pence was and still is my first choice to be president. And I'm glad Donald Trump picked him. But unless Donald Trump should unexpectedly depart this earth for whatever reason, Mike Pence is vice president. And many vice presidents, while they're on call to step in, should that happen, spend many terms going to funerals of foreign leaders or attending some ceremony or launching of a ship. I'm glad Donald Trump picked Mike Pence because he was a conservative that I could have voted for and would have voted for. But Mike Pence decided not to run for president. And because of that, today he has been elected vice president and is very close to becoming the next president of the United States should something unexpectedly happen to Donald Trump. And I'm not predicting it, folks. But I'm trying to make the point. The number two guy, the vice president, Mike Pence, is the choice of many conservatives and many people that are libertarians and classical liberals. But there are many that oppose him just as much. There is no perfect candidate. You're lucky if you can agree with 80% of the agenda or the stated positions of the candidates. where you can't agree with very few, you obviously don't vote for him. I could never vote for Hillary Clinton. On issue after issue, she's terrible, beyond the pale, as is the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is no longer the Democratic Party of my father or grandfather. It isn't. Over the recent 30, 40, 50 years, it has swung further and further and further to the left. Many Democrats used to call themselves liberals. Today, most of them don't call themselves liberals. They call themselves progressives, and many of the progressives would like to say that they're socialists, but no, if they do, that would be the kiss of death. The Democratic Party has become a far leftist party. They're socialists, folks. You better believe they are. That's why they want to grow government more and more. Now, some of you will say, well, the government doesn't own the means of production. How can that be socialism? Well, excuse me. It's called taxes. It's called printing treasury securities. It's called printing money. They take what the corporations, businesses produce, a large chunk, not a small chunk, not less than 10%. We're talking 20, 25, 30. That's socialism. And that's what you get with big government. It always gets bigger and bigger until it finally fails. And we're heading in that direction quickly. The welfare states of Europe, and they know it, are failing. Either they fundamentally reform or they'll go under. And they have high unemployment rates, as does the United States. Don't be fooled by the U3 unemployment rate number. It's at least 2 to 3 times higher. That's deliberately done so you don't get scared. You should be scared, because as government takes more and more resources of the economy, less and less of those resources are devoted to creating wealth, increasing capital formation or investment that you need to make the American worker more and more productive. The key is increasing economic growth. But you're not going to be able to do that, truly do that, until you downsize the federal government as well as local government. And unfortunately, both parties, the Democrat and Republican Party, are committed to growing it, not cutting spending. Oh, yes, Donald Trump wants to cut taxes. So do I. He's going in the right direction. But if he doesn't cut spending, what happens? You're going to have a deficit. And to pay for the deficit, we're going to issue bonds, notes, bills, treasury securities to pay the bills. And if we can't sell those bonds, then the Federal Reserve will buy them. In other words, we'll monetize the debt. You're paying for it whether you know it or not. You got to pay off those bonds. You got to pay the interest for the bonds. Keep in mind, government is paid either by taxes, and that should be the primary way to pay for government. Debt, and I'm not against debt as long as it's relatively small compared to the size of the government, as well as the size of the U.S. economy. Are you hearing anything from the Republican Party? I was in the newsroom, and they were interviewing Paul Ryan. And I have my issues with Paul Ryan. Ostensibly, he thinks he's still a conservative. Yet, people that review his record say, no, he's a D or an F. He might have been a conservative when he initially got elected. Remember, I believe he's from the 1st District in Wisconsin. Got reelected by a huge margin. But Wisconsin is very much a Democratic state, and it has moved left. You see, I don't trust Paul Ryan, and he's being challenged as we speak whether or not he'll keep his House Speaker seat. There are a lot of true conservatives that do not care for Paul Ryan. I don't care for him. He's what I call a big government conservative, which is inconsistent, folks. If you're truly a conservative, you should be prudent. Government should be limited. Budgets should be balanced. We shouldn't have the large government that we have today. You see, there's no discussion at all that I can find of truly cutting down the size of the federal government, cutting spending. None. There are some token discussions of maybe, for example, the EPA, doing away with the EPA. That's not going to happen as long as the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans are there. There's no sense of urgency. The American people power is limited, to say the least. That's why I stayed home. Oh, I could have registered to vote. And if the vote I thought was going to be close, most likely and very reluctantly voted for Donald Trump. Like I said, if you listen to this show, he wasn't my first choice. He wasn't my second choice. He wasn't my third choice. He wasn't my fourth choice. But eventually, he got on my list because there are only two or three left. Yes, I was for Ted Cruz. But Ted Cruz wasn't my first or second choice. I've told you who my first choice is, and he decided not to run. That's Mike Pence. My second choice was Senator Jeff Sessions. He decided not to run. And if you've noticed, Donald Trump was very complimentary regarding Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, that was an early supporter of Donald Trump. See, Jeff Sessions knows what the Republican as well as the Democratic Party are doing in the immigration area. He wants to enforce immigration law. He wants to stop illegal immigration, and he wants the illegal aliens here to be deported as the law requires. You see this big push by both the Democrats and Republicans, such as Jeb Bush. We need comprehensive immigration reform. We need to change the law. What they want to do is increase from 1 million to 2 million to 3 million the number of legal immigrants that can come into the country. The American people are not demanding that. Who is demanding that? Yes, the owner-donor class that wants cheap, compliant labor, and the American people, the American worker, be damned. That's what's going on here. And the lying lunatic left, and now they're losers, can't figure it out. Now, some understand it. What's going on here? The Democratic Party wants this country flooded, the invasion to continue until they have a lock on the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I was not surprised it was a close race. I was off on my estimate because I forgot, stupid me, California. Yes, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Why? California. Take California out. Did she win the popular vote? I don't think so. I haven't done the math, but I don't think so. You see, California, especially Los Angeles and the surrounding areas, they have let that illegal invasion in, despite repeated efforts to build that double fence with a road on it. You see, you have to have a will, determination to enforce the law, both at the border and within the United States. And when you have a president that doesn't want the laws enforced, who stands down? The U.S. Border Patrol, and you better believe, ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. Immigration law, for all practical purposes, is not being enforced vigorously in the United States. Just the opposite. Because the Democratic Party strategy is to make all the illegal aliens here citizens. So at some future point in time, it will be impossible for any party, Republican or a new independent party, to win. It's just math. I think the total that voted was a little over 120 million. I thought it was going to be much higher. I thought it was going to be as high as 140 million. I was wrong. I make mistakes. I'm human. I thought there would be even a bigger turnout for who? Yes, Donald Trump. But he has his issues. He was not the perfect candidate. And I'm tired of hearing all these Republicans saying, well, if we had any other candidate but Donald Trump, this would have been a landslide. Excuse me. We had 16 Republican candidates, and Donald Trump beat every one of them, including people's favorites, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and the liberal progressive Chris Christie, and don't forget Jeb Bush. He beat them all. And you're telling me any of those could have really beat Hillary in a landslide? What are you smoking? Are you on dope? Are you a pothead? Oh, that's the Libertarian candidate. Excuse me. No, you're not being logical. You see, many of those candidates I couldn't have voted for. Because why? They were establishment candidates. So why the lying lunatic left losers are upset? They're protesting in several cities. This was not a spontaneous demonstration. This is not the Tea Party. This is a Soros-funded MoveOn.org, quickly put together protest in city after city. It's both the old left and the new left taking a walk and screaming some rather foul language, I'll say, which is not very smart. But they were upset. They lost. We went, Donald Trump's our... He's not our president. Oh, how could he?
He could because he was a leader and he had a message that resonated with the American people. Maybe you need to clean out your ears and open your eyes and start thinking. I know many of you have a problem. You have been attending college. I call them babysitting indoctrination centers. Be sick. Babysitting indoctrination centers. You've been listening to the academic garbage put out by a very liberal and progressive faculty, and you believe it. You don't have critical thinking skills. Many of you can't read, and those that read don't want to read. And then you got to read some of these textbooks, and you don't understand them. You don't comprehend them. You've been cheated, and you don't even know it. And you've bought a bill of goods. That means after you go into debt, tens of thousands of dollars, get that piece of paper. I'm a college grad. Big whoop. Now go find a job. And guess what? All those entry jobs, they're already taken care of by the illegal alien invasion. When are you going to wake up and vote your economic interest? The answer is they're never going to wake up. They need to be deprogrammed. They're so brainwashed that at a drop of the hat, Media Matters says go demonstrate, and they take to the streets. Have a hissy fit. Good luck with that. And if you don't watch your step, you're going to get arrested. And then have your mommy and daddy put up the bail money. You've been spoiled and you've been indoctrinated. You're clueless as to what's happening. The very people that you wanted to win, Hillary Clinton, are screwing you, and you don't even know it. Get a clue. And I'll say further, get a life. Start thinking for yourself. Open your eyes. Challenge your teacher professors. Challenge the people in the media. Think for yourself, because no one is going to be protecting you. The Democratic Party is trying to turn this nation into a one-party government, very much like you already have in California, but going national. And the way they're going to do that is to give citizenship to every single illegal alien that's in this country. Now, they call it amnesty, but it's citizenship. They call it a pathway to citizenship. It's citizenship. That's the game plan. And the employers, the large corporations, but small and medium support this as well. They want cheap, compliant labor. And unless you're a cheap, compliant laborer, and having a college degree doesn't make you cheap. It just, for many of you, unfortunately, it makes you unemployable because you didn't apply yourself when you're in high school and you're not applying yourself in college. And to the extent you do, you are being indoctrinated into the party line that socialism is the answer. If you'd done your homework, you would have found throughout history, socialism, where it's been tried, has failed, and failed. It can't deliver the goods. Big government is not the answer. Big government is the problem. And until you understand that, you're being played for fools by the political elitist establishment of both political parties, Democrat and Republican. It really didn't matter who you voted for yesterday. You were going to get the same results. The game is rigged. It's stacked against you. You're not a member of the club, and you never will be. And yes, your education sucks because it's government education, largely in the United States. Yes, there's some good schools, and I'm all for a voucher program that Donald Trump wants. But you still need to find a good school. It's a scandal when you compare U.S. students, high school students, compare the results on standardized tests with students of other countries. We should be at the very top, given we spend the most money on education. We're not. We're in the middle, and it is a scandal, and it's not getting better, and it won't get better because we have the status quo. They don't want change, and to the extent they want anything, they make sure the politicians are bought and do what they want. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. That's what it's come to. Today, the United States is a warfare and welfare state, and like all empires, they decline and they fall. They overreach. They overreach by what? Spending more and more money on weapons, on protecting the empire, the interest of that owner-donor class abroad. Oh yeah, we're policemen of the world, but we're the suckers. We're paying for that, you and me. And the rest of the nations let us get away for it. If the United States wants to spend more money on arms than the next 14 or 15 nations, let them. We'll be freeloaders, the so-called free rider problem. Let them spend it. We'll spend it on just welfare. Instead of a warfare and welfare state, many nations today are just a welfare state. Now, Donald Trump says he wants the other nations to pay their share. So do I. But I go a step further. I'm very much a non-interventionist, in case you haven't gotten that. I'm not one of those warmongering neocons, whether they're in the Republican or Democratic Party, and many are in the Democratic Party. They just don't admit it. You see, I say socialism, and many of you people don't understand that word. So I try to make it simple. Think of the government intervening in the economy as well as abroad. They're interventionists. Now, some only abroad, some only in the U.S. economy. But if they're interventionists, you better believe that they're truly for big government. They have to be for big government. If you're a Republican, there's not a weapon system that you don't like. And if you're a Democrat, there's not a welfare program that you don't like. You see, the producers, the workers of this nation are wising up. They don't like the direction this country is going in. And that is probably the key indicator when 75% of the American people say we're going in the wrong direction. If you're the political elites, that's an alarm bell. They're saying we don't believe in your leadership, if you could call it that. And they'll throw whoever is in power out. And that is a very, very good indicator of what's going on. And people are aware of that. And that has been sampled or surveyed for many, many years. You can cut through all the nonsense of the races and whether Hillary or Trump was winning. Just go to that number. And it was fluctuating between 60% and 75%. But when it gets that high, the political party in power is in serious trouble, and we saw what happened Tuesday. But I think both political parties are in trouble. Because when one party has control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, which the Republicans will, what has happened in the past? Remember when the Republicans controlled the presidency, the House, and the Senate with Bush? What happened? We went to war and we went on a spending binge. In other words, government got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, I believe the United States government has a responsibility to defend the United States, its people, and its property, and why the war in Afghanistan was certainly justified to go after bin Laden. In retrospect, we never should have gone into Iraq. And I was on the fence with that because I gave, no longer the case, the president the benefit of the doubt. He had the most information. Not anymore. I'm not buying the rubbish. The Bush administration, including Cheney, they're interventionists. They're big government interventionists. In Bush's case, abroad, but also in the U.S. economy. And that was going to be the case with Hillary Clinton, more so domestically. And I dare say Donald Trump is not going to be much better, although he's giving some indication that he does not want the United States to be policeman of the world and not to intervene in country after country. That's good in terms of foreign policy, because we're out of money, folks. But what gets me nervous is when he continually talks about more and more infrastructure and more defense spending. Some of it is justified, but most of it, no. Only if you want a huge empire. And you better believe the power elite, the ruling elite, however you want to call it, that warfare part is big. War means money, profits for many, many companies. And employs many, many people. Jobs, jobs, jobs. And yeah, that means we need a bigger army, navy, air force. Join up and have your daughter and son go to foreign places. And if they're lucky, they'll come back alive. If they're not, well, at least they had some training, some travel. And they protected our national interests. What is our national interest? Always ask, what is the national? You notice how they never tell you what it is? I always get a joke. Well, what is our national interest? Now, many times it's obvious. Oil, oil, oil. But some cases, they don't have oil. Why are we there? Why are we sending troops? Because we're policemen of the world, and we have to have the new world order. Remember George Bush, the same guy that said, "No, read my lips, no new taxes"? He also said, "Read my lips, the new world order is upon us." They're interventionist, and they make government big to do what? To support the warfare and welfare state. Wake up. That's why I laugh at these marching, lying, lunatic left losers that are marching in city after city because they don't want Trump to be their president. Grow up. You sound like a bunch of crybabies, and you're looking like you're fools because George Soros and MoveOn can write an email and then you go to the streets. Yeah, they have you brainwashed. How much thought did you give of that? Probably very little, because either you can't read or don't want to read, or you read and you can't understand or comprehend what you're reading, and you go into debt tens of thousands of dollars. See, college education today has become a racket. I know what the racket is, and I don't have much time, but I'll summarize it. Butts in the seats. That's what it is. We got to get more butts in the seats. And because we have more butts in the seats, what do we have to do? We have to dumb it down. Dumb it down. It's a vicious cycle. And what's the net result today? We have a babysitting indoctrination center. That is what many and most colleges today have become, babysitting indoctrination center. Because many of the people that are here shouldn't be here. They never were and never will be college material, but they're passed on. They're passed on. We got to have butts in the seats. We got to dumb it down so we have more butts in the seats. And then as a result of doing that, colleges today are turned into largely babysitters, indoctrinating centers. People are not thinking for themselves. They don't have the power of critical thinking, and they never will. You need to boldly question, and that's simply not done. How dare you challenge me? That's the problem. They don't challenge and are not challenged. They're cheated. It's a racket, and you're the suckers. College education has largely become a racket of butts in the seats, dumb it down, and we're babysitters and indoctrinators. That's sad. But everyone has to be college educated. See, at one time, a high school diploma was unique, impressive. Not any longer. It's a joke. And quickly, and this trend has been going on, that's happening to college degrees. They're becoming increasingly worthless because the people really, I don't know what they got, but they've wasted a lot of money and time, and they can't do the job when they go out into the workforce. And there you got to get results. There are no excuses. If you can't read, write, follow instructions, you're not going to have the job very long. And you're going to have to compete. You better believe you're going to have to compete. No more babysitting. No more dumbing down the textbooks and the lectures. Students presenting the material instead of supposedly educated professors. That's what's going on. It's a scandal, but no one's talking about it. Barack Obama goes on and on. We need more money for community colleges. Excuse me. No, we don't. We have too much money for community college. Trump is right. We need more vocational training. At least if you go through those programs, and they do exist, you can become an electrician, a plumber, a welder, and that's just three, a carpenter. But you're going to be competing against two. Oh, yeah, that 30 to 50 million invasion of the country by the illegal aliens. Keep marching. Keep saying Trump's the problem. He's not our president. I have news for you. Trump's our president whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not. Grow up. Grow up. You see, it's time that students wake up. The American people are waking up. They know this country is going in the wrong direction. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were not the right answer. If anything, they were the continuing in the wrong direction. And the American people made it clear, even with the odds being stacked against Donald Trump and stacked against even Bernie Sanders, they finally made their concerns known. The people are in revolt, and that's why Trump won, and the political elitist establishment of both parties, together with big lie media, the bureaucracy, and the owner-donor class, better wake up or it's going to get worse. And that's not a threat. That will be a promise. Because if Donald Trump doesn't deliver, there are other people that will take his place. So I wish Donald Trump well, but I'm not optimistic because he's up against rather powerful forces, starting with the owners of this country, what I call the owner-donor class. They're bought and paid politicians of both the Democrat and Republican Party, the bureaucracy, and don't forget the big lie media, your television networks, including Fox and your newspapers, and yes, even online, because many of these blogs and Facebook pages are dominated by people that don't even know that they've spent the last 16 years being brainwashed. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.